builders and builders of dreams. We all fashion hearts. And man, if you don't think you have a calling on your life, look around your house. Greatest work you will ever do is within the walls of your own home. Amen. Noah preached and preached and preached, and his family got on the boat. Amen. If your family gets on the boat, you've done what God's called you to do. Amen. Preach the gospel. But I believe God has given us an even greater challenge. I believe even because our family gets on the boat, other families will get on the boat. Amen. That's our calling in the new covenant. Not just my house. You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How many believe that you can make that proclamation over your house today? I make that proclamation, I don't care what I see in the natural, I will declare and stand on that promise that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we make that proclamation, but not only do we make it for our own homes, but I proclaim it over the generations. How many can say, I proclaim over the generations of this house, not just my children, but over the generations of this house and this generation, that we will raise up leaders who are spirit-filled, born again, God-directed men and women of God? Yep. Hallelujah. How many know when I go in for medical assistance, if I got somebody's born again, spirit filled, say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because if they don't know the answer, they know how to get the answer. Amen. When I go to somebody in government, I want to know that they know about the kingdom mindsets. Amen. And so I believe God wants to raise up men and women in this day, in this hour, and in this house to be leaders in the kingdom of God. Amen. If God can take a teenage girl and a young man and a little baby and change the world, He can do it in your house too. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So, you know, I'm just challenged and encouraged in my heart. You know, always as the new year begins and it's a new season, and we are in 2025. How did we get here, right? It was just Y2K, you know, and everything was going to end in Y2K, and here we are 25 years later. Hopefully we're smarter, wiser. Come on, somebody. Right? But time stops for no one. Time doesn't, you know, there's no pause button on life, and there's no slowing it down. And man, the older you get, the faster you feel like you're on roller skates. Am I the only one in the house? Like you feel like, wow, where did 2024 year ago? And you know, as our kids, you start, you know, Facebook is one of those good things, bad things. Then memories pop up, and you're like, what? 10 years ago? That was 10 years ago, you know, and some of that kind of stuff. And you start to see, you know, wow, all the time that has passed in that time, in that season. And I'm like Morgan this morning, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for the goodness and the favor and the kindness of God in our life. Can anybody say today, I am grateful for the goodness of the Lord in my life? Amen. And so it's always challenging in the new season. Everybody wants a word. Everybody wants a word for the year. How many calls have you got, Dr. House, about everyone wants to know the word for the year? Can I just tell you, there's not a word for the year. There's not just one word for the year. Because your word is probably different than my word. Right? And I do feel like the Lord spoke a word to me in this season, but it's my word. I don't know what He's speaking in your word, but I know it's a word, it's a year of favor and increase, because that's what we declare by the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. Can you say that today? And so we know that we live in the favor of the Lord. I don't look for anything else but favor. You say, oh, but Pastor Lisa, this has happened in my life. This is, find the favor in it, because I will tell you, in where you are standing right now, the favor of the Lord is way more mighty and more powerful than anything you are facing, and He will bring to pass what He promised in this season. Can you say amen? I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. And so I look for favor. You know, as we were singing that song this morning, talking about roar, you know, hail, hail, Lion of Judah. let the lion roar. And I thought about that scripture the other day. Everybody's familiar with the scripture that says Satan is like a, what's the rest of it? Satan's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I said, what? Wait a minute. I just sang, hail, hail, lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. You know what I said? Satan, you are an imposter. You might think you are a roaring lion. You might open your mouth to roar, but I know him who is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he has no place in my life. Everybody say, all power, all authority is given to the Son of God. That means no power, no authority belongs to anybody but him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the true lion of the tribe of Judah. So if anything else is roaring in your life, it's an imposter. Hallelujah. He might roar, but he has no teeth. You know, there's a difference, right? You can roar all you want to, but if you don't have no teeth, you are not very scary, right? It's just a roar. The scripture says the Lord is in his holy temple. What's next? Let all the earth keep silence before him. What's that mean? That means sometimes you gotta shh. You gotta be still and listen to him who is in the holy temple. Because he is high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Hallelujah. And so that's who we serve today. I want to talk a little bit today. We're going to go to the scripture of the wise men, but I want to talk about what kings do. What kings do. Do we have any kings in here today? One, two, three, four, five. I'm going to need a lot of scriptures this morning, aren't I? How many believe that you are kings and priests unto God? That's what the Word says is true of you, not what I say of you. He said, we are kings and priests unto God. That being said, do we have any kings or priests in the house today? Come on, somebody. He has given us power and authority. You are not beggars. You are not weary pilgrims passing through. You're not just going for one more valley, one more hill, until we all get over yonder to get through this miserable thing that we called life. If that has been your anthem today, I hope you leave with another song in your heart. Come on, somebody, because that's not who you are, and that's not who we are. He has placed us in the earth to have dominion and to rule and to reign right here, right now. Amen. I'm not waiting to get there to experience life. I am bringing there here. Dr. House says it all the time. I want to make my home like heaven. Anybody in the room today? And so we have to get a mentality of favor. We have to get a mentality that we are kings and priests unto God. And let me just tell you, that does not take away your humility. Understanding who you are will always make you bow before the king. Right? And so I want to talk about what wise men do. I want to talk about what kings do this morning. So we've established that we are kings and priests unto God, that he has called us to rule and reign, that we do not have to live below the line of all that he has provided for us. Do you believe that? And sometimes it doesn't look like what we want it to do, but I got to tell you, in my days of serving the Lord, that every time God has made a shift, he has brought something greater out of it. And there have been some things in my life that have had divine endings and divine terminations, right? Where God brings some things to an end, and you're like, no, no, and we're holding on to those things. And God says, if you'll just let go, of that doorknob, I'll open the next doorknob. And you'll find that what I have in store for you is so much bigger and greater than what we can see right here, right now. I mean, most of the time, we have tunnel vision, right? My girl, she's praying with me this morning. She is on it. That girl, she helps me preach. Miss Amira. Look at that face. Bless her, Jesus. She knows my voice from the womb. I believe it. And so I want to go to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version today, and Dr. House is in the house. I told him, I said, you want to share anything when I get started? Please feel free to do so, but there are some things that I believe that when we establish the fact that we are kings and priests unto God, that we operate in and that we act in, amen? And so that when we walk in the authority of who God has created us to be, and we walk in the understanding of who we are, then we operate in that gift. How many know a lot of things that we operate in the kingdom are not the way we operate in the natural? Right? Because I can tell you, I know the God who can take a little and make a lot. And I didn't want to get there yet, but I can tell you that God will take 5 loaves and 2 fish. And when the disciples are saying, but what is this among so many? Like, I don't think I could feed you guys here this morning with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless it was like the communion bread and you just pinch a little, right? I know when y'all come through, some of y'all need a lot of Jesus. Some of you just need a little bit of Jesus when we're having communion. I know how that rolls. But I know the God who can take 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he can hold them up to heaven and he can take the bread. And he can bless the bread. And he can break the bread. And when he starts to give it out, it just keeps going. It just keeps multiplying. It just keeps rolling in to the point that when Jesus tells the disciples after he has fed the 5,000, he said, now get your basket and you go around and gather up the fragments that's left over. I believe he's the God of the leftover. Come on, somebody. He's the God of the leftover that when you give out and you give out and you distribute, he said, now get your basket and get ready to fill it because I'm going to send a basket full back home with you of blessing and abundance. Hallelujah. And you know what Jesus tells them even after, I'm going to get to my scripture in a minute, but do you know what Jesus tells them after they collect the fragments of the bread? He said, now immediately go and get in the boat and go to the other side. Go to the next assignment. Everybody say immediately. See, I always thought they took it home to their family first. It's not what the word says. He said, immediately get in the boat and go to the other side. But you know what happens after the miracle? After the feeding of the 5,000? After God has just done the most amazing thing for them, a storm hits. And man, doesn't that cloud our vision? And how quickly are we to forget what just happened when we're on our way to the next assignment? Come on, somebody. I believe there is some doors being shut, and I believe there's some doors being opened, but from this side of the shore to that side of the shore, sometimes it gets dark and it gets stormy, and they were afraid. But the scripture said that Jesus came to them on the water. Why are you afraid? O ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Do you know what is sitting in that boat while they're heading to the other side? Come on, say it louder. There's 12 baskets full of bread sitting on the boat that they're in between their feet. And sometimes you got to look down at what God's already provided and say, if he got me to here, he's going to get me to there. And I'm going to walk in the abundance and the favor of God right here, right now, because he's the God who can take the little and multiply it and feed the multitude. Man, deliver us, Lord, from focusing on the storm when we should be focusing on the provision. Come on, anybody in here God ever provided for today? We could go around this room and I could pass the microphone, and I'm sure you could tell me miracles and times where God came through and provided for you that you had no idea where it was coming from. But God, I can tell you many times of the grace and favor of God in my life, that God, you are just that good. Come on, somebody, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Yes, he will. I want to go to Matthew 2 and verse 1 out of the Amplified today. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Herod the great, magi, wise men, they call them, another translation calls them kings, astrologers, priests, spiritual leaders, all kinds of names for the wise men, from the east, came to Jerusalem asking, where is he? I want to stop there just a minute. Where is he? We are in search of the king. We are in search of the king. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the chief priests, scribes, and the people, and anxiously asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, was to be born. They replied to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet Micah, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not in any way the least among the leaders of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Micah 5 and 2. Then Herod secretly sent for the Magi and learned from them the exact time he, the exact time the star had first appeared. Then he went to Bethlehem, saying, go and search carefully for the child, not the king, search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, continually leading the way until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and after entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then after opening their treasure chest, when they came into the house, they opened their treasure chest and they presented to him gifts fit for a king, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to go back to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Then after opening their treasures, they presented to him. How many wise men were there? Good for you guys. We don't know how many wise men there were. We Three Kings is a Christmas carol. It's not in the Bible. And we confuse that because they brought to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three of the most costly valued, expensive gifts that you could bring. No drum. No drums. Just substance. How many know kings don't come empty-handed? Kings came into the house. Hang on to it. I get two. I only need one.
When she came to see Solomon, she brought him a $52,800,000 offering just in gold.
Think about it.
That's not counting cattle or the stuff she brought him. That's not, I played my drum for him, a rump-a-pum-pum. That's some serious substance of which he was gathering stuff even to build the house of God for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She brought it for a person. She did not come empty-handed to a king. She came with caravans. I submit to you this morning, they didn't have a little gift bag with a gift card for the king.
Bathrobe with a knapsack, like we see on the Christmas place, because we only got three kids and a bathrobe and a towel in their head.
Right, right. And it's whoever we can gather up. And who's not sick the night that we have the program? That's how you do Christmas programs. Can anybody say amen? And so we get a lot of our doctrine and theology from Christmas cards.
Yep.
Come on, we need to read the word. Yep. I'm going to tell you, it probably was a whole caravan of wagons, camels, whatever it was, that came into the town because they made enough ruckus that they got the attention of Herod the king. See, if I'd have pulled in on my donkey and said, hey, I come to worship the king today, he'd have said, have at it. Right? Come on. He'd have said, have at it. But they came in with a presence. Come on. Kings come into the city and they come into the house with a presence and they don't come empty-handed. They come with camels and they come with caravans and they come with gold and spices and myrrh and frankincense. Why? Because I have been reading the heavens.
Yep.
And I have seen the star in the east. And I have come to worship him. And I refuse as a king or priest to come into the house and come empty-handed. I will come and represent the kingdom. And I will give with treasures in the house. And when I leave, I won't take the treasures with me. But I will leave them at the feet of a king. Come on, I want to challenge you in your mentality. We have such a consumer mentality sometimes. When we come into the house of the Lord, and we got to consider, are we tithing or are we tipping? You can love me when I leave or not, but I'm going to tell you how way I've been raised and the way I've been taught. One of the greatest things my parents ever taught me was to be a giver. Pay your tithes. Be a giver. You say, Pastor, that's old covenant. Oh, no, it's not. See, under the old covenant, he said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Do you know in the new covenant, he's going to open you as the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, because God will only place finances of the hands who have king and priest mentality to know how to be dispensers in the kingdom and know how to finance the king. Because when I come and bow down before my king, I'm not coming empty-handed. See, in the church, we've had this mentality, and God really dealt with me on this back some time ago, and I believe in being a giver and tither. But how many know when the woman came with an alabaster box, she was the least of the least. And Simon, the religious folk, see, you can either have a religious mindset, says he's just honored to be in my presence. Or you can have an alabaster box mindset that says, I'm going to be in the presence of greatness today. And when I do, I'm going to pop the cork. And I'm going to pour out everything that I got. And I'm going to leave the room with a fragrance that says, she's been in the house. Come on, somebody. If you really ever understand, we have had a consumer mindset where we come into the house and say, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Fill me up because it's all drained out all week and now I need to come back in and get filled back up again. Nobody? No? See, I've been there. And I get it. Sometimes we come in and you say, God, I need you to fill me. And man, he is so faithful to do that. Man, God, I need you to touch my heart. I need you to fill me up today. I need you. But there's other times that I'm like Morgan, I'm going to come in with a heart of gratitude and I'm going to come filled up. And when I leave, I'm going to be empty of everything I brought in the house because there is a fragrance. Come on, myrrh and frankincense were fragrances and oils that were priceless, and they were used in temple sacrifice. Jeremy's been preaching on the tabernacle and the myrrh and the frankincense of the holy place and the most holy place. I mean, you know, with the bread that was on the table of showbread was sprinkled with frankincense. Come on, Jesus was sprinkled with frankincense. He is the bread. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead, but I am the true bread that came down from heaven. I want to submit to you, there is a bread of life that has been sprinkled with a frankincense that will fill the room. My parents taught us to be givers. And so one time when I was a little girl, my dad would say, I'll pay your tithes. Well, let me just first tell you, we didn't get allowances, right? We were poor. We didn't even know how poor. My siblings are in the room, amen? And we didn't get allowances. We were allowed to live there. We were allowed to eat there. We were allowed to have their name, but there was no allowance, right? So about the only time you got money is if you found it or you had a birthday. Birthdays were so much fun, more fun when you were young, right? But they said, now pay your tithes. And so I paid my tithes one time. And they said, God will bless you back. I paid my tithes. And some of you all understand this. I was in the house, I've told this before, where Tam and Andy lives, in their living room. The couch set along this wall right here. It was orange at the time. We had an orange living room growing up. We were trendsetters. And the couch sat right there, and my mom said, I want you to put your hands down in the cushions of the couch, and I want you to clean out all the stuff that falls out of the pockets and the lint and the tissues and the whatever. And I put my hands down in the crack of that couch, and I pulled out hands full of change. And I was said, this thing really works. God has blessed me. God has given me back 100-fold of what I tithe. I probably put 10 cents in. I got at least a dollar back. I was hooked, hook, line, and sinker because I knew God was a God of provision. Come on, can somebody say amen? And I've been a giver ever since. I believe in sowing into the house. How many know the tithes are for the storehouse? The offerings are above and beyond that. There's a whole lot of things we can teach this morning. And I'm not trying to belabor a point. But I want to tell you, there is a mindset that we got to get in that says, I am a king and priest unto God. David said at one point, he said, I'll give you, was it the threshing floor of Arunah? He was going to give it to David. And David said, I will take nothing that I don't. I will offer the Lord nothing, something that costs me nothing. Come on, sometimes it costs you.
That we're doing for Hebrews. The whole passage in Hebrews, because there is a great conflict about tithing, even in the grace
circle. Amen.
But actually, the first tither was not under the law. It was Abraham before he
died. Amen. Before the old covenant was given.
If I could take a minute here to share it, it's, you know, it starts out by telling you this about Melchizedek, king of Salem, the prince of the Most High God, and Abraham, the attorney for the slaughter of the kings of the brethren. We don't give because we're going to get the victory. We give because we've already.
Because we have the victory.
Patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. So the first thing you got to do when you're giving is realize I'm not giving this to the church. I'm considering how great this man was. That's what
Amen. They took a tithe.
Take tithe, and they paid tithe. And if you didn't pay the tithe, you were under a curse. We're not under that Levitical.
Amen.
So we're not paying God anything. But he does still receive.
Absolutely.
Had a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law that is written. Brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Theology is not derived from them, received tithe. One takes, Old Covenant takes tithe. You don't have to do anything. One of the things, even in Psalm 52, when God was talking about the offerings to them, he said to them, do you think I was ever thirsty for the blood of bulls? You think the fat of rams is what I was after? Do you think these burnt sacrifices is what I'm looking for? He said, all the fowls of the mountain already belong to me, and the cattle on a thousand hills, they already belong to me, and if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you.
Exactly.
But what I did was I put something in the arena of your human expression to be able to give back to me something I gave to you.
Amen.
To just be obedient. And so that was, you know, what we give is out of the obedience. And, you know, even the receiving, I know that there is absolutely a blessing. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, but we've not been redeemed from the blessing. Jeremy said a minute ago, you know, Jesus went to be taxed, but he came back blessed. When he was in Jerusalem, he went there to, all the world went to be taxed, but he left there loaded. And so, you know, so we have to think in terms of when I'm giving, I'm not giving it to just a person or a man. And I know that that is some motivation to our hearts, but it's bigger than, this is the only thing you have in the tangible realm where Paul said you can take carnal things and make them spiritual. Is in the arena of being able to give and sow. Amen. And so when he did that, then he goes on to say, you know, that he who genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. It was right after, and Melchizedek served bread and wine, which to me speaks of finished work ministries.
Amen.
And when you sow into that, you know, I think that even what the wise men brought to Jesus when they brought him the wealth was enough wealth to run a 33-year ministry, to live in Egypt for a couple of years, and have 12 men on staff who probably ate a lot, and you never see Jesus broke.
And one of them was a thief.
Somebody was embezzling money, and they weren't missing it.
But
this is one of the main points to me that said, now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. And here's one of the things that really was the key to me. Here, mortal men receive. But there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives.
Mm-hmm.
He of whom, here mortal men receive tithe, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So when I put my tithe in the offering, I'm not thinking about I'm just giving this to the church. I'm thinking about he is receiving my tithe. And the lesser is blessed by the better, and the divine supply is always there. And I mean, it works, but you know, there's many things you could say, but you know, when I think about even that Psalm 52 where he said, if I was hungry, I would not ask you. In other words, if I really, God said to them,
if I need your money,
you think I need your money? I own the cattle, I own the gold in the hills. All the wealth actually comes from the land and the earth. Everything that really is wealth built, is really the tangible wealth comes from what God has already provided.
And the earth is the Lord's.
And so, you know, the thing is with all of it is, even then when he goes on to say it, in, you know, Malachi, where he's talking about, you know, he's talking there, and most people use that to browbeat God's people, you know, well, you're cursed with the curse if you don't give. But that's under the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But then he tells, but if you will try me in this, the one thing I have always said to people is, start where you feel like you can give from your heart. Feel like you can't give a tithe? This is the one place God said, try me and see. Test me. Put
Go
me
ahead.
To the test. See if it don't
Amen.
Work. In other words, you plant a seed. You see if this works. You know, like you said, you sowed the 10 cents. You got some out of the couch. And
I put your hands in the couch.
Over and over again, where we've done that and blessed people and different things like that. It would be even within, I would literally, I have literally gave a $100 bill here and turned around, and before I got out of that building, somebody would hand me
a
$100 bill or more. And so, you know, when you sow big, you reap big. But the thing of it is everybody that's ever done it, and consistently, not just try it 1 or 2 weeks, mm-hmm. but anybody that's ever done it consistently will always testify, this works.
He is faithful.
And it's not just so I can get something back. Again, we got to stop the thinking, okay, well, this is a good, it is a good investment. Because it's a guaranteed deal. When you sow into the kingdom, it's a guaranteed return. I'll bless you, and the less is blessed of the greater. But the real blessing of it is I consider how great this man is. That everything that I have is divinely supplied by him. And you know, the one thing about being in ministry for full time for 40-some years is, you, especially in our state, our condition, we don't have a tithe base we draw from.
Right.
Totally is miraculous every single month.
That God speaks to hearts.
That God speaks to heart and moves on people.
Amen.
And does it just at the, and it's amazing to me. Sometimes it absolutely is amazing. You know, even just testify, I'm testifying.
It's all right.
But a few years ago when I was going through some stuff, you know, that was having a heart test and I was all kind of, and I wasn't traveling much. So I was, you know, not feeling good. So not on the road. When you're not on the road, of course, except for our partners. And so be transparent a little bit. We need about $30,000 a month just to survive. And we came to the end of that month, and Joyce told me, she said, well, you know, we're getting to the end of the month, and we are really starting. And I think that week, I think it was somebody gave a $15,000 offering, and somebody gave a $10,000, or somebody gave a $25,000. I forget what it was exactly, but it was exactly what we needed. I said, Lord, you know what? I think it's dependent on me sometimes to do it, to make it. But there's a real rest in saying, you know what? This is God's business, if it's your business. This is God's ministry, if it's God's ministry. How we feel about it. It's a rest in that and say, you know what? I just don't live under the pressure of it. If the money don't come, we're not in the ministry next week. Right? We just go get a job, which sometimes
See,
we would welcome.
Next? Yeah. See, what's next?
What's next for us? But what I'm simply saying is that if you would just start out by saying, you know, I'm going to purpose in my heart to give God what I feel like I can give from my heart. Watch and see if he won't increase it. You'll be able to, you know, ultimately at least give. We just try to start. I'm just our person. We try to start at 10%.
Yeah. And then, just a jumping off
and that's
point.
Just, you know. So didn't mean to take that much time, but I just Amen. Asked me to share that part of it. I just wanted to say
that's all right.
That
Amen.
You got to consider how great he is.
Amen.
And he who lives forever is still receiving tithes. He doesn't take it. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to threaten you with sickness. He's not going to kill your kids if you don't. You're not going to business. But what you're going to see is God will begin to bless businesses who are partners with him in the kingdom of God because he realizes these people are stewards of the grace of God. You can't earn grace, but you can steward it. And that's why you see the same unmerited, unearned favor is on everybody. But you'll see some broken, some prosperous, and the difference is who's stewarding the grace or the gift that God has given to us.
Amen. 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 Our leadership comes out of his lordship because he will call leaders who understand his lordship first. Before he empowers you to leadership. I was thinking as Lynn was telling that story, and I just love testimonies because it's just real life and it's what works. But I remember my mom and dad, when the Sam and I went out on strike, and they were out, I don't know if you guys remember, how long, was it a year that they, 3 years, it was a long time that they were out on strike, and they lived on just the income that came in from a strike. Some of you are strike babies in the room, right? I think it was $25 a week at the time. And so we lived 3 years with 9 of us eating a lot of green beans. I can remember eating a lot of green beans. That's what we grew here where y'all were sitting. But anyway, at the end of that, there was a check that came in that was back pay from that 3 years of being out on strike. And it wasn't enough to get rich by any means, but my mom and dad wrote a tithes check, and they were going to a little church in up next to the Virginia line, And at the end, the pastor's wife came to my mom and said, "Mrs. Hiles, did you make a mistake on your check today?" And she said, "No, why?" And she said, "Well, this is bigger than, you know, like what you've been given. Did you put an extra zero or two on there by mistake?" And she said, "No, ma'am, that's the tithe that we're given today." She said, "I want to tell you, that's the exact amount that's due at the bank on Monday morning that we got to pay on Monday morning, and God has just met that bill." I'm telling you, won't he do it? Won't he do it? He is a faithful God. You know, I was thinking today, I'm going to preach to you out of nursery rhyme for just a moment, but I was thinking as I was sitting there this morning, and the Lord spoke to me about Jack and the Beanstalk. Right? Y'all know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, so I don't have to tell it, right? They didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have anything to eat, but they had a cow. And so the cow was in the hands of the young man, but he sold the cow for a magic bean. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? His mom was angry, threw the bean out the window. Said there ain't no such thing as a magic bean. Amen. Throws it out the window. But what happens is that seed starts to grow. And it grows until it gets to a heavenly place. Only when Jack climbs that beanstalk, he realizes that there are giants there that are in possession of the hen who lays the golden egg. Come on, somebody. When we take the seed and put it in the ground, we will find out that there is a place that has been prepared, but the giants have been in control of the resources, that all that he had to do was go to a heavenly place and find out the provision was there, but it started with a seed. Now, I know that's a nursery rhyme. I know that's a fairy tale, but I'm going to tell you, you do not eat the seed. You get what I'm saying? I go out to my garden and I go to pick a red ripe tomato, and then it occurs to me that I didn't plant any tomatoes. And so then I go to the next row and I'm going to pick me some beans, but then I realize I didn't plant any beans either. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, I can eat the seed, I can eat the tomato. But if I don't take the seed and put it into the ground and trust him who is the gardener, when I go to reap a harvest, I ate the seed. And so you have to have a mindset that says, I'm going to sow some things into the ground. Like, I like to sow seeds in different arenas. I love it when I dump a cantaloupe rind and seeds out over the bank, and a watermelon rind out over the, and that pumpkin from last year that gets rolled down over the bank. And come about springtime or summer, you go out and look and you say, what in the world? There's cantaloupe growing right there. There's watermelon growing from something that I dumped a season ago and I forgot about. But God is just that faithful to the seed. Amen, that we will trust to put in his hand. And he said, if you'll plant the seed, I will send somebody to water it, and I will send somebody to be a caretaker of it, and I will bring a harvest. Somebody's got to be willing to let go of the seed first. So what do kings do? They fell down and they worshiped him. They came into humility for the sole purpose of seeking out him who was born king. And when they left there, they did not take their treasures with them, but they left with treasures in their heart. Come on, somebody. They had been in the presence of greatness, and they knew it. And when you have been in the presence of greatness, you will go some other way. Yeah. That seems the path that everybody else has taken. Say, Pastor, this don't make sense. I'm going to tell you, you will go another way because you have been warned of God that Herod is out to destroy the baby. But I've already prepared a place, and you, as kings, have financed the ministry for Joseph to take baby Jesus to Egypt and live there until the one who sought his life had passed. How many know there was another mediator one day that the Pharaoh would like to have annihilated him and taken his life. You remember? It was a guy named Moses. Y'all ever heard of him? Yeah, Moses. He was a mediator as well. That the king would want to take his life. But because somebody trusted God and said, not my baby. Not my baby. And she placed him even in the hands of an earthly kingdom. But not before she had nursed him to her breast. And reminded him and poured into him, Moses, you are loved. Moses, you're a Hebrew. Moses, you're a leader. Moses, you've been called for greatness. Moses. She began to speak into him. And then he was raised in the house of the Egyptians. I'm going to tell you, some of you may seem like your kids is being raised in the house of an Egyptian, but there's a heart of a Hebrew beating in their chest. There's a different mentality in them that says, I might be here. I might be in this place, but this place is not in me. Come on, somebody. I might be in this place for a time and a season, but this place is not in me. And so here's some things that kings do. Kings don't come empty-handed. They come with their hands full. Our time, our talent, and our treasures. I mean, God has put giftings in all of us that we can be kingdom contributors and distributors. Kings go the distance. They traveled afar. There's a whole lot of history I can tell you as to probably who they are and why they got to where they are. It goes back to Daniel. It was some men probably trained under the leadership of Daniel and the wise men that had carried that history. I mean, they had some history behind them. Kings read the heavens to find direction for their life. We don't look at earthly circumstances for direction. We read the heavens. Kings come to the house. They show up where the young child was. Mm-hmm.
Too much. I don't know where we go. You know, when God asked Job, he said, can you loose the band of Orion? Can you bind the sweet influence of Pleiades? Canst thou guide Arcturus and his sons through the heavens? Do you understand the ordinances of the heavens, and can you set their dominion in the earth? He was talking about constellations. Mm-hmm. Orion, the band of Orion was a constellation. Arcturus and his sons is the 12 signs of the zodiac. As the great shepherd leads his sons in the path through the heavens. But all 12 signs of the zodiac correspond with the 12 tribes of Israel. So that when the camp was at rest, if you've probably been listening to Jeremy teach about how when the camp was at rest, they were arranged in the shape of the cross. But all 12 of those tribes had one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. I almost hesitate to say stuff about this because people get scared that you're talking about reading their horoscope. Let me say this clearly. The 12 signs of the zodiac are not about you. They're about him.
Amen. There you go.
And long before there was ever holy writ, the scripture said the heavens declare, night unto night they utter speech. Declare. But these magi saw a star appear in the constellation of Virgo, which was Virgo, the Virgin. The constellation of the Virgin. Virgo. And it appeared in the constellation of Virgin. And the name of that star was named the one whose heel would be bruised. Mm-hmm. Which is prophetic. And in the other hand of Virgo is a wave of sheath of first fruits. And what that constellation is saying, that a virgin is going to conceive and have a son, his heel is going to be bruised, and if it's bruised, he will bring forth much fruit, and that's why she's waving a sheaf on the other end. And the end of that 12 signs is Leo the lion. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah who has prevailed. And Draco the dragon shoots his arrow into the heart of the dragon. Paul was on a ship that was named after the two, the Alex and Post, I forget what their names are. But anyway, all of those things are before it was ever polluted by people. Probably, like you said, Daniel taught these magi. And they saw something happen in the heavens, that there's a new star that has appeared. In the heel of Virgo, yeah. Whose name means the one whose heel will be bruised. I mean, there's some powerful stuff in it, but it scares people when you talk about it. But it's all, even the book of Revelation, the latter part of the book of Revelation is dominated by the sign of Aquarius. And you see Aquarius up dumping his bucket, pouring out water. And in the latter part of the book of Revelation, you see God pouring. There's a river that runs through it. And, you know, if you're thirsty, come, you drink. So all of that stuff is like, I mean, God was such a master that even if men try to pollute the scriptures, he wrote it in the heavens. So he said in Romans 1, that you're without excuse because the heavens declare. Night unto night they utter speech. So that was just election.
Wrote it in the heavens first. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And kings went another way after they had come into the house. They presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of those are significant. The deity of God, the life of God, the death of God are all represented in the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that were prophetic of who he was and the work that he would do. I mean, you know, the babe in the manger is incredible. But the death, burial, and resurrection is the culmination of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Do we have any kings and priests in the house this morning? I hope that encourages your heart. It's not meant to be a rebuke. It's not meant to be anything harsh. But as we begin to go into the new year, and, you know, I believe God has, you go ahead and stand with me this morning. I believe God has great things in store. And those dreams and those visions and things come about as to those who will sow into what God wants to do. If you want to be a part of that, there is an opportunity to do that. And I encourage you to do so, but I pray blessing over you. Amen. I pray favor over your life. I pray unsuspected blessings over you. I pray health over you. I pray for open doors. I pray for employment opportunities. I pray for healing. I pray for ministry. Hallelujah. If you receive that, just bow your head today. Search your heart. Lord, I place my treasures into your hand today. I place those things that I treasure, Lord, my health, my family, my finances, my church, all of the things that are precious, Lord, those things that we treasure, I place it in your hand today. Because I know you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, that you have been faithful to this house. And Lord, I pray a blessing today for those who have stood and stood and stood and been faithful in this house, for those who have been givers, for those who have poured their very life into this place, God. I speak an abundance of your favor right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that it is your good pleasure, that you give pleasure at giving us the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. We honor you today. And Lord, we make this moment a moment where we stand and watch for the favor of God to be evident in our lives. In Jesus' name. Lord, if there's one in the house today that's struggling financially, Lord, their heart's to give, but they're struggling. God, right now, I pray. God, right now, I pray. Supernatural provision, supernatural wisdom, supernatural understanding. Hallelujah, that you would do above and beyond even what we can ask or think today. Today, God, we speak it, we declare it, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.